Amen. Happy day, happy day. Amen. Thank you, choir, musicians, all of you, Lillian, Pat, Lee, all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless your hearts. What a wonderful blessing to have such a great group of singers and musicians. They lift our spirit, get us ready to worship the Lord. And that's what we've come here to do. We came here to bring glory to God. I'm just reminded that today marks the day. It was on a Sunday, 62 years ago, when the Second World War really got underway for us. Maybe there's some here this morning that served in that conflict. Was anyone here who was at Pearl Harbor 62 years ago? Anyone at all? How many were in that? We're in the conflict during the Second World War. Anybody? Hallelujah, back here. We honor you today, my brother. I was 13 years old in December 1941, before it was over, before the emergency was over. I had enlisted in the service but never saw battle, because that got over before I actually came into the service. But I thought about it this morning, because I remember exactly where I was when President Roosevelt spoke those immortal words, a day that will go down in infamy. But we got through that. We made it through that. We made it through Korea. We made it through Vietnam. We made it through the first Gulf War, and we'll make it through this one. Amen. We'll make it through this one. But we honor those whose lives have been lost, and we pray daily for those who are still in the conflict. They're still over there standing up for our country. And we do bless them and honor them. Between now and Christmas, I want to deal with some of the prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus that were given hundreds of years before the events that we celebrate actually happened. Some of these prophecies concerned others that would have a part in events leading up to the birth of our Lord Jesus. And I want to deal this morning with one of those events. It concerns the birth of John, the one whom we call John the Baptist. For some 450 to 500 years before John was born, there was a prophet by the name of Malachi that spoke some words regarding his birth. Though he was not named as John the Baptist, yet his ministry was described by a prophet long before it ever happened. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 says, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." And later on, after we're looking into the book of Luke, which describes the birth of John the Baptist, and I'll refer more specifically to these scriptures a little bit later in the teaching this morning. But there we can see that the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy was clearly fulfilled in John the Baptist. The scripture says in the 67th verse of that first chapter of Luke, His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, "Praised be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for those in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy scriptures of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This, of course, is what Zechariah, the son of John the Baptist, said over his son, who was at the moment only a tiny baby. He received from the Lord something that was going to happen in John's life and laid out ahead of time and connected it to Old Testament scriptures. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a little while on a subject that I call "Good Things Happen to Ordinary People." For that's exactly what Zechariah was. He was a very ordinary person. Let's begin reading with verse 5 of that Luke chapter 1. "In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth also was a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said unto him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this?'" Rather interesting, isn't it? He's talking to an angel here. And he says, how can I be certain? How can I be sure that this is going to happen? Well, the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now... you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple, and when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had had a vision in the temple, For he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown us his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. This morning when I went into my place of prayer, I thought I had my message for today already, and I was just going to go over it again and pray over it. In fact, I'd had a couple of things that was weighing on my heart, but when I got into my place of prayer, the Lord said, I want you to talk about this story right here. So that's what I'm talking about this morning. Because I want us to understand something. I want it made very clear to you that God often does His great works through very ordinary kind of people. Amen. Zechariah was an ordinary man. No one would ever have known his name had it not been for this story that was recorded concerning him. Not a great person, not a particularly wise person, though he was of the order. He was a Levite and in the priesthood by virtue of the fact that he had been born into the priesthood. Some translators believe that this may have been the only time in all of his life that he offered incense as the people were praying. Because this is something, according to the order of the priesthood, that was done by what is called casting lots. It was sort of, if the lot fell on you, then you were the one that lit the incense that ascended up with the prayers of the people into the presence of God. We don't know that it had ever happened to him before or if it ever happened to him again. But on this occasion, as he was an ordinary man performing his duty, amen, I want you to get the picture of this, just an ordinary man doing his duty, fulfilling his responsibility, just faithfully walking according to the will of God for his life, it was to this person that God chose to reveal himself, and it was to this person that God decided, and through this person, that God decided to do an extraordinary thing. Amen. An ordinary man who was given responsibility to do an extraordinary thing. Now, when the angel appeared to Zechariah, as we've just read about, the first thing he announced to Zechariah was, I want to tell you, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And I think he might have said, which one, Lord? Because I am almost thoroughly convinced that long prior to this, a long time prior to this, he had ceased to pray for a son. Because normally we pray for things that we believe are possible. We don't pray about impossible things. Generally, we don't pray that much about them. We might pray for them a few times, but if we begin to believe that it can't happen, we eventually cease to pray about that thing. And now Zechariah and Elizabeth are getting older, and she is beyond the age where she could normally bear children. And he was an old man himself. So it may be he had not prayed this prayer for a long time. And when the angel said, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered, he might have thought, as I mentioned a moment ago, which one? I don't know that that's what happened, but being a human being, it could have happened that way. And of course the angel said, you're going to father a son. Elizabeth is going to be pregnant with a son, and his life is going to really change some things. He's going to make a big difference. The picture I want you to get here, again, is that this is an ordinary person carrying on his ordinary responsibilities, doing exactly what he was commissioned to do, and it was to this average guy, this ordinary person, and through this person, it is through this kind of person that God chose to do his work. When I began to think about that this morning, I suddenly discovered that that's generally the only kind of people God uses. He uses ordinary, average people. I'm talking about people like us. God has chosen to do his work through ordinary people. In fact, in the first chapter of Corinthians, as I've mentioned to you before, God often has chosen the ordinary, the weak things, the foolish things. Amen. God has often done that because I believe he wants all of us to know that we are not qualified by our number of degrees. Amen. Our education, or our financial position in life, or any other thing that men usually look at to bring or to think that a person is qualified to do a certain kind of work. We are looking for extraordinary people to do extraordinary kind of work, but not the Lord. He looks for the average person. Amen. The ordinary individual. The person who is simply doing his job. Amen. Name may not even be known. As I said, I don't think we would have known the name Zechariah. He would have not been in the Scriptures had it not been for the fact that God chose to use this man who was just average, ordinary, but doing the thing that he was called to do. That's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for people that are simply plodding, amen, just walking ahead, just doing exactly what they were called to do. Amen. That's all. You don't have to be some kind of special person. You don't have to be a super saint for God to use you. In fact, he doesn't have any. Just some people that think they are. Amen. Amen. He may have some people that think they are, or that others may think they are, that are. But God doesn't use super saints. He's looking to humble Looking for humble, ordinary people who are faithfully fulfilling the responsibility that God has laid on them. And God looks at that person and says, I can use that one. Amen. Amen. I can use that one. And that's what he did when Zechariah went into the inner part of the temple to offer up the incense to be mixed with the prayers of the people. He says, I can use this man. Why? Because he's doing his duty. He's serving where he was called. When the lot fell on him to do this work, he didn't try to give an excuse. Amen? He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. Please let me be excused. No. He was just teaching his Sunday school class. He was just singing in the choir. He was just filling his pew in the church. He was just giving his offerings as normal. Amen. He was just doing the ordinary things that guarantee if God is going to do something special through an individual, that's the kind of person He's going to use. Always has. And I started thinking about it. I mean, just think about Joseph. Joseph was a man who just made the best of the situation that he happened to be in at the moment. And when he got sold by his brothers into Egypt and he became the servant of Potiphar, he just was the best servant he could be. I mean, just did the best. First thing you know, he was over all Potiphar's servants. And when he got accused of doing something he was not responsible for doing, he made the best of it. Though he was in prison, the first thing you know, he was over the prison. Because he just did things faithfully. He just continued to work. Even though he's hid, he's in prison, nobody seems to know he's there. But it's that kind of person. If God has an extraordinary work, He will find that person to make second to the Pharaoh. Amen. You can see it over and over again. Gideon, who simply said, "Well, I'm the least one in my family. And after all, our family is of the tribe of Benjamin, who is the least one of all of the sons of Jacob. Yeah, I'm nobody." And you know what the Lord called him? A mighty man of valor. He says, if I'm a mighty man of valor, what am I doing hiding out here trying to thrash out a little bit of grain for my family, scared to death that the enemy is going to see me? I must not be. No, he didn't think of himself as being anyone great at all. In fact, he said, you must be talking to somebody else, Lord. You surely don't mean me. Yes, Gideon, I'm talking to you. Amen. What's he doing? He's just ordinary. He's just carrying on his daily responsibility. He's just trying to feed his family. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. Well, that's who the Lord chooses. That's what He's watching. That's what He's looking at. He's looking for men and women and young people who are just faithful to do what they know to do. Amen. Just carrying out their duty. Amen. When it feels good and when it don't feel good. Amen. They're just doing it when everything is going great, and they're just still doing it when things are not going all that great. They're just still doing it because they're not given. They don't have this desire to be recognized. I referred to our greeters and our ushers in the early service because few people would know their names if they didn't have it. I have to look a lot of times, and I know them a little bit. You see, I know some of your names. I don't know that. I know Jim and Don and Parky and Roy and David and Chris. And I know some of the names. But see, this is not important whether I know them. What's important is that the one up there knows your name. Not only that. Hallelujah. He not only knows your name, He knows everything about you and loves you. Had to change the record on the number of hairs after I brushed my head this morning. Amen. But He knows everything. And you know what? He's calling ordinary people to do His work. Amen. He calls ordinary people to be care leaders. We use the word leader, and that sort of, in some people's minds, that sort of elevates. That says somebody's big, or so we put a title on somebody. But Jesus, you see, He was always just using ordinary people to do His work. Oh, yes, we'll honor people that serve the Lord in whatever capacity. But the important thing is there is a record book that's being kept in heaven. Hallelujah. And every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us Christians are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will make some amazing discoveries. Because I'm convinced it is at that judgment seat that some, perhaps even many, who might have been viewed as first here will be last there. And many that might be seen as ordinary, last here maybe, but there they may be first. Oh, I want, there's one goal I have in my mind. I'm not looking, though I enjoy it, I'm not looking for the praise of the people. But I do want him to say in that day, well done, good and faithful, ordinary servant. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Yes, we receive recognition sometimes by people, and they do things for us. Amen. And they give us something that may look like we're outstanding. Amen. I do something to myself that makes me look outstanding. I eat too much at times. Hallelujah. But it's, again, let me say it again. Let me encourage you. It's ordinary people that do the work of God. David was an ordinary. In fact, he was so ordinary that when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of, what's his name? What? Jesse. Yeah, Jesse, that was his name. Jesse brought his sons all together because Samuel was coming to anoint one of them to be king of Israel. He didn't bother to bring in David because he was just ordinary. He was a young guy, ruddy complexion, probably freckled faced. Maybe not. But in the eyes of Jesse, he was not king material. Amen. And he didn't want to bother to bring him in. What was David doing? Well, he was just doing his duty. He was just keeping the sheep. Amen. He wasn't complaining that he wasn't called in. He was just out there doing what he had knew was his responsibility as one of the shepherds of his father's sheep. Hallelujah. Well, Samuel didn't get a witness on any of those guys that were there. Oh, I can just see them coming in. Boy, I mean, they were strutting their stuff. And Jesse was thinking, it's got to be this one. Got to be this one. He passes them all by. Every one of them. He says, is this all your sons, Jesse? Is this all the sons you have? I know God told me to anoint one of your sons. I don't get a witness on any of these. I got one more, he said, but he's just an ordinary lad. I don't think it's... He said, we're not sitting down till I see him. We're not going to sit down. Get him. Get him here. I want to see this ordinary person, because that's the kind of persons that God uses. Amen. He uses ordinary people. Amen. I want to see him. They brought him in. Samuel said, that's him right there. That's the one right there. The one you think is not king material, that's the very one that I'm going to anoint to be the king of Israel. Made a wise decision, led by the Spirit of God. And something that I think ought to bring a great deal of encouragement to every one of us. Listen, young person, you might think, well, I don't amount to anything. I'm not much. That's all right for you to think that. Amen. But just know this, that's the kind of people God uses. He uses people that don't think they're anybody. In fact, the ones He don't use is the ones that think they are somebody. Now that's what we look for. We look for people who have self-confidence. Self-confidence does not trust God. Amen. It trusts self. That's what it amounts to. But God is not looking for people who are blessed or cursed with self-confidence. He's looking for people that know they're ordinary people. Amen. Don't know much, but they're not lost. Amen. That's what the old Arkansasier said to the guy who came driving by, obviously lost, said to the old man sitting on the porch of a little old cabin in the Ozarks. He said, well, he said to the man, where does this road go? And the old hillbilly said, I don't know. He said, he pointed another direction and said, well, where does it go this direction? He said, I don't know. To which the city dude said, you don't know much, do you? And the old hillbilly said, nope, I don't know much, but I'm not lost. Amen. Amen. Listen, we may not know much, but we're not lost. Hallelujah. We may not have much, but we're not lost. Hallelujah. We know where we are. We know how we got there. Hallelujah. And we know, listen, we got to serve Him faithfully right where we are. Amen. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. Not the person who calls it quits, but the person who says, I'm staying. Amen. The person who said, I've had a request, but I'm going to sing anyway. Amen. I'm going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to attend. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to live right. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, but nobody ever brags on you. What difference does that make? God's keeping the record. Amen. God's keeping the record. Hallelujah. Don't do what I'm doing to get bragged on. I do what I'm doing because it's right. It's my duty. It's my responsibility. It's the way I live. And God looks on it and says, that's good, son. I like that. I like that. They may never know your name or brag on you while you're here. Amen. Nobody may know what you're doing. But I do, and I'm keeping good records. Amen. And Scripture says God is not unrighteous to forget our works and our labors of love which we have shown unto His name. Others may never have known. Some have known and forgot, but not God. Amen. He's got perfect recall. Amen. I don't have it, He does. He's got perfect recall. He can always recall everything. And He's looking for that person and working in and through the lives of ordinary people who've made a commitment and will not turn away from it. It's not easy for some of you. Some of you are going through real struggles right now. Got physical problems. But you're holding in spite of it. Some have financial problems and Christmas is facing us right now. Amen. Some who were expecting a bonus is probably not going to get one this year. What do you do then? You just tighten up your belt. Amen. You just tighten up your belt and say, I'm not turning aside. I'm not turning away. I'm headed the right direction. I'm going to be faithful to God. And God is going to look at that and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. How's it going to come out? I don't know. And it doesn't matter, because I'm going to do my duty as I understand it. I am going to live up to the responsibilities that God has put on me. I'm going to be faithful to do the work of the ministry. Amen. I'm going to fulfill, and persevere in the mission that God has given to me. And I'm going to maintain my determination. Hallelujah. And most are just ordinary people doing right simply because it's right. At times wondering if God sees. Let me tell you, He does. He sees. And He's keeping good records. And He loves you for your faithfulness, for your commitment to duty. If anybody says, well, I'm just doing my duty, that's all He wants. Just doing what is your duty. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter who sees. It doesn't matter whether or not we're recognized by any person. I want to be recognized by Him. Amen. Do you? Have you got it? Somebody say, I got that. I got that. I qualify. Amen. Do you feel like you're qualified? Well, you are. You're qualified to be used of the Lord. And in fact, are being used even when you didn't know it. God is using you. God is working through your life. It's ordinary people that keeps the church going. Oh, I know sometimes we look at the guy that's up front and those that are in authority, and we're looking at those that are more public in their ministry. We think they're the ones that's keeping it going. Oh, no. You, ordinary people, are keeping it going. Amen. You're the ones that establish the church. You're the ones that support the church. You're the ones that remains faithful to the church. You're the one that will hear Him say on that day, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over a lot of things. Yes, it's been tight for some of you. I mean, financially. It's been difficult for some of you physically. Some of you have endured all kinds of emotional difficulties, trials and tests, and some have entered and went through spiritual battle after spiritual battle, but you're here. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. What is it? Just being faithful, that's all. Just being faithful.